Today's text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Today we will look at the meaning of baptism, especially since we have received new members through this sacrament. We will examine the reality of Jesus' baptism from John the Baptist. Baptism is a means of grace, along with God's Word, the Lord's Supper, and prayer. It reveals the reality of the salvation that our Lord Jesus has accomplished for us. Therefore, it is important to consistently affirm and appreciate the reality of the salvation that baptism signifies, as this will help us grow in grace. A common event marks both the beginning and the end of Jesus' public life. His water baptism by John the Baptist and his subsequent baptism of the cross. This highlights the purpose of Jesus' coming to earth, to be baptized on our behalf. God tells us that the baptism Jesus received is, in fact, our baptism as well. Thus, by understanding Jesus' baptism, we can grasp the true meaning of our own baptism. In verse 16 of today's text, Jesus is baptized and comes up out of the water. As we know, water symbolizes death and judgment. Jesus, as the Lamb of God who takes away our sins, foreshadowed through his baptism that he would endure death and judgment on the cross in our place. He allows us to participate in this baptism of the cross. God recognizes the baptism of death and judgment that Jesus received as our baptism, considering us as those who have already been judged and have paid the wages of sin. In this way, he permits us to die with Jesus. However, the baptism Jesus received does not stop here. When Jesus comes up from the water, it signifies the resurrection. While he died on the cross and faced judgment in our place, he also rose again, granting us the promise of eternal life in heaven. Additionally, he allows us to partake in this resurrection. God not only enables us to die with Jesus, but also grants us new life with him, making us eternal sons who belong to heaven. This is the reality of the water baptism we receive when we repent and confess our faith in Jesus. God reveals this truth to us and confirms it through baptism. In Romans 6, we are told to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus. We are called not to offer ourselves to sin, but to live by offering ourselves to God. This guidance is rooted in the reality of our salvation, which Jesus has accomplished. Because we are united with Jesus, our old selves died with him, and we have been born again as new selves who belong to heaven. This truth is an eternal reality that never changes. Baptism signifies and makes this reality known to us. In Revelation 21, God reveals to us the nature of our existence in heaven. He says that there will be no more sea, and in another passage, he emphasizes that there will be no more curses. This means that we will never again be subjected to the immersion in the water of the curse and the judgment of sin. We will dwell forever in a reality free from sin, death, and judgment. And this reality applies to our lives even now. Baptism symbolizes our journey to discover the true reality that belongs to heaven, which is found only in Jesus. Through faith, we can embrace and testify to this reality. However, the significance of Jesus' baptism extends beyond just him being immersed in water and rising from it. It conveys a deeper message. The experience does not merely end with death, but continues with resurrection and new life. This is further illustrated in the latter part of verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. When Jesus comes up out of the water, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and rests upon Jesus. We must continue to remember that the baptism Jesus received was a baptism in our place and on our behalf. And we must look at this passage carefully. Jesus has been one with the Holy Spirit for eternity. He's not receiving the Holy Spirit through baptism when the Holy Spirit is not with him. Rather, he receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our place as our representative. As we will see later in verse 17, God declares to Jesus that this is his beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. Jesus was originally the Son whom God loved and was well pleased with from eternity, but he testifies in advance of the reality of the salvation that we will enjoy representing us in our place. That is why he allows us to find ourselves in Jesus. This is such a blessed and a wonderful passage. The first thing to look at is that the gate of heaven was opened when Jesus was baptized and came out of the water. What does this tell us? Through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, the gate of heaven will be wide open for those who are united with Jesus and saved. The same event occurs in Mark 1, where verse 10 says that the heavens were torn open when Jesus came up from the water. Why does it say that the heavens were torn? When we hear the expression that heavens were torn, it recalls a familiar event. The same word, torn, appears in another significant moment. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that covered the most holy place was torn from top to bottom. As Jesus' body was torn and his blood was shed, God opened the gates of heaven. Following his resurrection, Jesus entered the glory of heaven. Likewise, the saints who Jesus baptized died with him and were resurrected with him also gained entry to heaven through the torn gates. When Jesus was baptized in water, it prefigured the tearing open of the heavens, serving as a testament to the significance of his baptism on the cross. There is a passage in Hebrews that highlights this blessed reality. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." When Jesus' body was torn and his blood was shed, God tore and opened the curtain of the most holy place in heaven, allowing us to enter the most holy place in heaven through the open path with the blood of Jesus. We have been baptized and united with Jesus. But this is not the end. We continue to see even more amazing realities in today's passage. When Jesus comes up from the water, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove. Does this mean that an actual dove appeared? If we look at the pictures depicting the scene, there's always a dove in them. But this does not mean that the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. It means that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as if a dove were descending. Why does he connect the image of the Holy Spirit descending with a dove? We can examine this in two ways. First, what event comes to mind when we see the Holy Spirit descending like a bird? It is the event of the first creation. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, the Spirit of God descended to create all things in the image of His glory. And this is what it looks like in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit, hovers over the waters. The term hovering originally refers to the image of a bird flying and descending. In other words, the Holy Spirit descends as if a bird is hovering, initiating the first creation in His image with a command, "Let there be light amidst the land filled with chaos, emptiness, and darkness." There is a related instance found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, where Moses describes God descending and leading His people with a cloud of glory during the Exodus, akin to an eagle hovering over its young. The use of the word hovering here is the same as in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, illustrating the descent of the Holy Spirit as if a bird is hovering. The reality of the Holy Spirit's descent during the first creation and the Exodus is also evident in today's text when Jesus was baptized. This event serves as a realization of a new creation. Baptism symbolizes and seals the reality of dying and rising with Jesus, signifying the new creation that the Holy Spirit brings. When Jesus is baptized in water and emerges, the Holy Spirit descends upon him, representing the new creation of salvation made possible by Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection. This act regenerates us as God's children. Just as the Holy Spirit moved and descended like a bird during the creation event, He also descended like a bird during the new creation and salvation event. When is this reality completely fulfilled and revealed in the history of salvation? It is on the day of Pentecost, as described in Acts 2. After Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, we witness what happened to Jesus, which also occurred to the church and the saints in a similar way. The Holy Spirit moves and descends like a dove, coming upon each saint, leading to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit, the saints were also baptized, and the church was born. This event has also taken place in our lives. The Holy Spirit has descended upon each of us like a dove, enabling us to die with Jesus to our old selves, which were enmeshed in chaos, emptiness, and darkness of sin and death. We are born again with Jesus as a new self, belonging to God and heaven. Here's one more thing to consider. Why is it a dove among all the birds? In the Bible, the dove symbolizes the foolishness and ignorance of sinners. Interestingly, the name Jonah means dove. During the Exodus, the Holy Spirit hovered over the people and descended like an eagle. So why is it referred to as a dove in today's text? There are various interpretations of this symbolism, but we should reflect on an event that connects to the theme of new creation. In today's text, we see a relationship between baptism, the dove, and the reality of salvation as a new creation. If we look at the Old Testament, we can find a significant event where a dove appears in connection with salvation and baptism, like what we see today. That event is the story of Noah's flood. Genesis chapter 8, verses 10 through 13. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth a dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth a dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In a world filled with sin, God brings judgment through a flood, submerging the earth in water, which symbolizes baptism of death and judgment. At that time, only Noah and his family experienced salvation by being saved from the waters. It rains for 40 days. The water covers the earth for 150 days. Afterward, God sends a wind to blow over the earth, causing the water to recede. This event parallels God's actions on the third day of creation, when he moved over the waters, gathered them, and revealed the land. Noah then sends out a dove to see if the land has emerged from the floodwaters. The dove eventually returns with a fresh olive leaf, indicating that once submerged land has risen above the water again. This is the reality of new creation. The people of God who are saved from the judgment of the flood began to live on a new earth with new life. The dove brought this good news to Noah and his family. The judgment was over, and the land was revealed from beneath the waters. Noah, his family, and all the living creatures that were saved from the flood emerged from the ark, offered burnt offerings to God, and settled on the new earth they had entered. The first to bring this message was the dove. This reality is also present in today's text. As Jesus emerges from the water, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and rests upon him. The saints who are united with Jesus are granted new life after the judgment and the new earth, where this new life, reflecting the life of heaven, will exist, begins. The Holy Spirit also descends upon us like a dove, enabling us to partake in Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, and his ascension. Now, we are gifted a new life that belongs to heaven, a place where there will be no more death or judgment. We are called to live in the new heaven and new earth. The significance of our water baptism reaches all the way to this reality. This is why the Apostle Paul describes our situation in this manner. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This text highlights the profound significance of being baptized with Jesus. It explains that according to Scripture, we died with him, were resurrected, and are already seated in heaven. However, the meaning of baptism extends beyond this. In verse 17, we discover the final aspect of the baptism that Jesus received. Within this verse, we find the most blessed truth conveyed by the baptism we have received. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." When Jesus was baptized and came up from the water, this is the word that God proclaimed from heaven. Coming up from the water points to the reality of resurrection, which is connected to Jesus being declared the Son God loves and delights in. This word that Jesus is declared as the Son of God is connected to the words of Psalm 2. Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In verse 2 of Psalm chapter 2, we find a reference to the Messiah, or Christ, who is the anointed one of the Lord. God declares to him, "You are my Son. Today I have become your Father," and grants him an inheritance. This means that Christ is recognized as the Son of God and receives the Father's inheritance. Furthermore, the statement, "Today I have become your Father," in Psalm 2, is explained in relation to the resurrection of Jesus, as detailed in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 32 and 33. "And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, 'You are my Son, today I have begotten you.'" This verse tells us that the words in Psalm chapter 2, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you," were fulfilled by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The resurrection is an event that demonstrates Jesus' complete righteousness, confirming that his death was a substitutionary sacrifice for us, and showing that he obeyed God's will until the very end. As Jesus is recognized as completely righteous through the resurrection, he is also acknowledged as the Son of God, receiving the Father's inheritance. Moreover, because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the saints who are united with him have also received forgiveness of sins and righteousness. In other words, this verse from the Psalm was fulfilled for Jesus and the saints who united with him, who die and live again with him. Thus, just as God declared to Jesus, he joyfully declares to you and me, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you," granting us the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. The same words can also be found in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, "And was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." The text also says that Jesus was resurrected from the dead and recognized as the Son of God. It's important to grasp this concept fully. Jesus has been the Son of God from eternity, but through his resurrection, he demonstrated this role on our behalf as our representative. When Jesus was acknowledged as the Son of God due to his resurrection, we were also recognized as sons of God alongside him. Together with Jesus, we have already received the inheritance of heaven. This is the significance of the baptism we received. The heavens open for us, the Holy Spirit descends, and God the Father proclaims, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He invites us to enter through the open gate of heaven, allowing us to come before the throne of God in heaven. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. "And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Dear saints, I hope that each of you will find life by listening to the voice of God. It is my prayer that new believers will also embrace this truth, and that all our saints will live while attuned to his voice. God joyfully tells us, "You are my children. I love you and am pleased with you." This affirmation is not because we deserve it, but solely because of Jesus. Through him, we are united and accepted. This is our eternal reality, which will never change. How grateful we should be! We are called to live joyfully and with gratitude, while listening to the voice of God the Father. In doing so, we also love and care for the saints who have been called as children of God next to us. And finally, we must remember the significance of the baptism that Jesus received to fulfill the beautiful promise of baptism for us. Our Jesus endured the suffering of the cross to make us beloved children of God, whom He loves and delights in. For us to become children that God cherishes forever, Jesus, the eternal Son whom God loves most, had to be baptized into death and judgment, separated and abandoned by God the Father. During that moment on the cross, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" We need to first listen to the voice of Jesus, who cried out in our place while being crucified and dying. Then we must hear the voice of God the Father, who joyfully opens the gates of heaven and proclaims to us, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This proclamation is eternal. That is why we must always be filled with gratitude no matter the circumstances. We are currently experiencing God's immense love and delight for us through faith, but soon we will fully enjoy this love in heaven. Just as He loves and delights in Jesus, He loves and delights in each one of you. My fellow saints, this is the reality of the baptism we received. We all went through the same baptism and became the same children of God. I hope you find your identity solely in Jesus and always hear and affirm the voice of God the Father proclaiming His love for you. Live your life as a child worthy of that calling, cherished and celebrated by God.